Hey everybody, welcome to another snack size edition of our show, How Success Happens. I'm Dan Bova, writer and editor at entrepreneur.com. Man, it is hot here in New York, which makes me glad to be sitting here in my dank basement recording this. But it also reminds me of a great conversation I had recently with Mike Kurban, who is the co-founder and executive chairman of Vita Coco. Now, Vita Coco is now ubiquitous. It is everywhere. But if you're as old as I am, you definitely remember a time when you might have asked, wait, what the hell is coconut water? But since the 2 decades that it launched, everybody knows the answer to that question. And coconut water is a $1.2 billion category. And Vita Coco holds about 42% of that market share. So doing the quick math, that is a lot. So sip on that, folks. Pretty good. So I spoke with Mike about the company's beginnings, its future, and also how napping plays into his crazy success. Yes, napping. But we'll get into that in a few minutes. But first, let's find out how this brand came to be. And interestingly, it started with a trip to Brazil and noticing something rather different on store shelves.
There in Brazil, coconut water was now on store shelves. Packaged, sold next to Gatorade, and everybody was drinking it. And it was like nobody was drinking the Gatorade. And I remember thinking, this doesn't exist back in New York. There's got to be a market for it. Let's, you know, bring it back and try to create a brand and see if we could build something. So the idea was never really to build a business this big. The idea was actually at the time we were like, maybe we could make an extra 20 grand every month and we could use that to throw the most killer parties. And that was like the idea. So, quickly it kind of took off. And, after several years of grinding away and trying to tell people what coconut water was back in New York and slowly built what is today a pretty large business.
That's amazing. First of all, can you tell it, how big is the business? I know it is quite big, but how are you guys doing?
Yeah, so this year we're a publicly traded company, trade under the ticker COCO on NASDAQ. And this year projected to do about $750 million in sales and growing really nicely. And it's probably today, coconut water is the fastest growing category in the beverage aisle, 22 years after we started it. And so it's really cool to see young consumers coming in, new consumers coming in. It's really been an amazing, amazing journey. And, you know, we used to joke one day, you know, you're going to walk into a restaurant and the waiter is going to say, would you like still sparkling or cocoa? It feels like that day is like almost coming. So we'll see.
That's awesome. Well, it seems like you guys could throw yourself one hell of a party with the money you're making on the side with that.
That's right. But there's no time for it now.
Yeah,
you
right.
See how life works.
Oh, that's fantastic. So tell me about the process, as you kind of alluded to, of educating people about this in New York and particularly in the States.
Yeah, I mean, when we started, people didn't know what it was. You know, they would think it would taste like a pina colada. You know, they didn't understand why they should be drinking it. And the biggest benefit of coconut water is that it has 3.5 times the electrolytes of a sport drink. So it's really good for hydration. And it doesn't have to be like on the field, hard charging hydration. It's everyday hydration for everybody. And so it's also great as mixed into everything. So people are drinking it with their smoothies. They're drinking it mixed with their protein powders in the morning. They're drinking it with their green powders. They're making matcha with it. All of these type of things, and they're getting 3.5 times the electrolytes of a sport drink while doing it, is what people didn't understand. And we've spent 22 years trying to explain that to them and educate them on that.
So 22 years, I think the message has stuck, but I was curious to dig in a little deeper, get into the weeds of those first forays into getting people to try a drink that they maybe heard of before, but certainly never had just on its own, as he alluded to. Usually there's some rum in it, some crushed ice or whatever, but how did he get people to try this to begin with?
So it was, at first, it was me standing in grocery stores in New York City, handing out, little cups of coconut water and being like, this is really good for you. And people being like, I don't know, that tastes weird. I've never tasted anything like that in my life. It's like water with a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of a texture. And then, you know, slowly getting people to understand what it was. And then I realized that for some reason, people doing hot yoga liked it. So I would go to Bikram yoga studios and take yoga classes just so that I could stand there after the class and hand out samples and maybe get a little fridge into the store so that they would carry my product. And then, so that was how we were doing marketing. It was getting the product in people's hands at the right moment in their day when they would understand the health benefits of it. And then that just slowly, and then as we started to grow, we had this incredible opportunity where I met Madonna's manager, and he was like, Madonna loves this stuff. She's drinking it all the time. To do an endorsement deal with Madonna. And I'm like, I don't have any money to pay Madonna, let alone do billboards and commercials or whatever else it is. But I am doing an investment round. Madonna wants to invest. And he's like, we'll take the whole round. So they took the entire round. It was Madonna, Demi Moore, Matthew McConaughey, Anthony Kiedis. They all got together and invested in the business and then went to work for us, promoting the product, talking about it on stage, on concerts, all of these type of things. So that's how it transitioned from me in the bodega or me in the grocery store or me in the yoga studio to now Madonna doing that on a much larger scale.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, I know talking to entrepreneurs, when you're in the midst of all this stuff, your head is down, you're just grinding. But did you like ever look up and be like, holy crap, Madonna is hawking, is spreading the word about my business?
Every day. I mean, every day I feel so lucky and so grateful. I think yes, we had a good idea, but I think others have had the idea. Yes, the timing was very good. Yes, we've worked really, really hard, but I think everything has just come together and I've just been blessed with this incredible luck to build this incredible company that does great things around the world and is getting consumers, drinking something healthier and better for them.
So Mike is obviously on the humble side when he's talking about his success, talking about luck. And yeah, of course, there's an amount of luck, but there's also a lot of hard work. So I also wondered if he could, stepping outside of just what he's done at Vita Coco, if he could give some advice to other people out there who are thinking like, man, I got this idea. Maybe it can make me a couple extra bucks on the side. Who knows? Maybe it'll be something bigger. What's his big advice?
So I'd say the first thing I love to say to entrepreneurs who have a new idea is something my dad always told me, which was never listen to the what are you nuts people. The what are you nuts people are the people that tell you you're never going to be able to do that. The idea is not good. You're not good enough for it. Whatever it is, never listen to those people. If you believe in something, go for it. And then the other thing that I would say is understand your consumer. If you're now, again, maybe you're not selling consumer goods, but if you're selling a consumer product, understand what the consumer likes about it and what they don't like about it as early as possible so you can communicate with your consumer and get the right message across. I think a lot of people get lost because they feel like they need to communicate something that maybe isn't really resonating. So I think it's really trying to get out there. Like I was telling you earlier, I would stand in the store with those little cups. That was my marketing, handing out samples. It wasn't just to show people what coconut water was. I was also getting all that feedback from all those consumers so I could tweak my message and I could tweak how I communicate to consumers. And I think that's an important thing to do.
Was there something that you started off with in terms of the messaging that you realized was wrong or wasn't going in the direction that you thought it should? Was there something that you changed that you think was kind of instrumental to growth?
I think early days, it was all about nature's sport drink and just like, this is the natural sport drink. And that was a bit too far forward for what we were trying to achieve. We had to start smaller. And so when we started to tell people, this is the best thing you could put in your smoothie, that started to build a business. And then this is the best thing to put with your tequila as a cocktail, or this is the best thing for the hangover. And then it started. And now today we're talking about this is nature's sport drink. But now I think we're big enough to play on that field. I don't think we were big enough to play on that field early. So we had to start with something that would resonate with people that in a small way that they could use in their life. And then it started to grow from there.
And finally, let's get to Mike's secret success weapon, which is his daily 4 p.m. power nap, which I realized as we were talking was at the time when I scheduled our interview, totally screwing him up. So I've learned an interesting part of your management and how you manage yourself and your productivity is your 4 p.m. power nap, which I just realized I'm cutting into.
You
oh my God.
You messed me up so bad today, man.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
So I just woke up, but I only got 20 minutes. I literally set the alarm for 3:58 so we could get on this call. But I feel good. I feel good. I feel rested. I was starting to hit that wall right beforehand, but even the 20 minutes set me straight.
So for people who are like, how on earth does someone in charge of a company this big or in charge of any company figure out a way to nap every single day? How do you do it?
I sit on the couch. I close my eyes, put a hat over my head or an eye mask. And I put on a meditation music, like this soundtrack, this playlist that I got maybe 10 plus years ago. And it just, boom, I'm out. Mm. And I set an alarm. Usually I try to get 40 minutes to an hour if I can, sometimes as little as 20. And I wake up and I feel completely refreshed. I don't have that afternoon slump anymore if I organize my day around my nap.
There you have it. The secret to taking a nap is to close your eyes, get comfortable, and take a nap. So thanks, Mike, so much for the chat. Apologies again for screwing up your nap. I will never forgive myself. I'm going to get out of here. Hope you are all staying cool out there. A reminder, you can watch my guests and I gabbing on YouTube. Just search for @entrepreneurpodcasts. You can see this show, Problem Solvers, and a whole bunch more. And while you're doing things, hey, why don't you sign up for our free newsletter for weekly doses of inspiration? That's over at info.entrepreneur.com/HSH. And special thanks to all of you who have been subscribing to my Substack. This should be fun. I hope you're finding it fun. Okay, time to shut up. I'm going to go hydrate with some Vita Coco. And that's right, I'm going to take a nap.